Hello, Conference USA fans, and welcome back to another episode of the USA Insider Podcast. I'm your host, Jessica Rafford, filling in another week for Sarah Rudolph, who was gone in NOLA for our 2025 Bowling Championship. You can watch all of those games on ESPN Plus. As what, 10 of our teams are ranking in the top 25, 7 of those teams are in the top 10. So we have a very, very competitive bowling league. You don't want to miss all the action. As I said, you can see that on ESPN Plus, and that is from Wednesday to Saturday. I'm with Eric Jones. As always, when I'm in this seat, Eric Jones is in this seat, and we are about to run down everything that happened in our basketball championship. And we had a week in Huntsville. 20 teams, 18 games, 2 champions, and I felt like I had about 8 heart attacks. Yep.
And it went by like that.
It went by so quick. Yeah. You think after long days, you'll be like, oh my gosh, I don't know.
You know, you kind of just get in the groove of it.
Yeah.
You know, I always say the second day is the worst day because, you know, it's you realize how long of a day one is, and you're like, all right, got to repeat this. But then you just start getting into a rhythm, and it's a lot of good basketball, so it keeps us on our toes, and yeah. It was such a fun week last week.
Shout out to the city of Huntsville. Hospitality, yeah. The VBC, everything was ran so smoothly. So just a huge shout out to the city of Huntsville and their sports commission and just the VBC and their staff and just everything that they helped us out with. It really was a really smooth tournament.
No doubt. No doubt about it.
Day one, Tuesday, March 11th, our first round. Let's start with the women's. We had our 8 and 9 seed game first. Sam Houston got out of that one with 55-53. That was our first close game. That was a heart attack for me, too, because Jack State had every chance to, like, get that 2-point off, and we were going into overtime. Imagine that if our first game, our very first game was an overtime game. That would have just set us up for the rest of the tournament.
Start us off with a bang, yeah.
Oh, my gosh. Oh, yeah. But they started us off with a heart attack because that led to more heart attacks. But Sam Houston caused 31 turnovers in that game, and they ended up winning it. So that was a really good first game for us. Then it was the 7-10 matchup between Kennesaw State and UTEP. That was a 71-63. And then that was our matchups for the next day with our 1 and 2 seeds, which was very, very interesting. But talk about the first round of the men's.
Yeah, yeah. So, I mean, our first men's basketball game there, the 8-9 between UTEP and Sam Houston, I was so amped up for. You know, that those two teams had played each other the week prior in Huntsville, Texas. And Sam Houston came out with that win, and to see a team as talented as UTEP and how good they are defensively struggle the way they did down the stretch of the season was obviously really tough to watch, but you know, they sure probably felt it in the locker room as well. But you know, once you get to the tournament, it's a new season. They snapped a 7-game win streak and on day one of the tournament and beat Sam Houston, pretty handily, shut down Lamar Wilkerson, for most of that game. And you know, props to them for bouncing back after, you know, ending the season not the way they wanted to, but you know, get that huge win by 14 points and get to go play number one seeded Liberty the next day. And then moving down to our, you know,
upset alert.
Yeah, yeah, to our game. And you know, shout out to FIU for real. Like, Coach Ballard got those guys ready. You could tell
they were amped up.
Yeah, yes. Yeah. We were sitting right behind their bench. And I mean, all game long, you know, those guys were ready to play. And, you know, they obviously finished, what, 3-15 in the regular season conference play. And, you know, they were probably the one team I was like, well, they're, you know, I could see 9 teams winning this. Mm-hmm. Sorry, FIU. But
they were an underdog just, for sure.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. It's just the way the season went. And, they come out and win a game, and I was like, all right, that's 2025 Conference USA basketball. Like, of course they'll win the first round game and get to go play Jack State. So
they held WKU to what, 1 of 19 from the 3-point line. And so once that happened, we were like, ooh.
Yeah. And their that 1-3 came in the last 9 seconds of that game. So just huge props to FIU, and they got to move on to Wednesday to play the number 2 Jack State Gamecocks.
And now at the start of our quarterfinals, you know, not a main event really, but you see our 1 and 2 seeds, and you know, we always talk about how playing on a neutral court, right? Because these can be the games that you may get a potential upset alert. Like the ones before, you may, it's 8 and 9, very tight knit game. 7 and 10, you'll be like, maybe 7, like you said, beating the 10. But these games, I just feel like the Wednesday ones was just anybody's. It could be a toss up. It's not, it really didn't happen that way. Liberty and Sam Houston on the women's side went against each other 78-51. Liberty was just dominating this.
Yeah. all week
whoever
long,
they played like. All week long, they were literally dominating. And that's just because their depth on their team is just so wide, so big. You just never know who's going to have an outing. Asia Boone had an outing that day. I think she, led the team with 16 points, shooting 6 of 9 from the floor. So she was really, really good for them in that game. And then, our second game, 73-46, Middle Tennessee, Kennesaw. Middle Tennessee came on top of that. The crazy thing is, Middle Tennessee held Kennesaw in that second quarter. They went on a 24-0 run, and that was our first scoreless quarter in a CSA history of championship ever since went to the quarter system for women's in 2015-2016 season. So we haven't had a scoreless quarter. Yeah. Well, a team have a scoreless quarter.
I think I looked up at the clock with 2 minutes left in the half, and I was sitting there like, hold on a second. I don't think they've scored a bucket in a few minutes. And, you know, I look at the stats, and I was like, there it was. They're like 17-0 in the second quarter.
And it's the crazy thing, because we track stat broadcasts for live stats just to make sure that everything is working properly. And I feel like, because they didn't score at the end of that first quarter, and it went into the rest of that second quarter. And we were just like, we both were like, I think it's been like 17-0 run at this point. So Middle Tennessee offensively was just really, really good. Defensively, just for Kennesaw not to even score a point.
Yeah.
So I'm pretty sure that was like, this was a good starting point for Middle Tennessee during that tournament.
Too, even, the game that Liberty played before them seeing that, it's like, all right, well, they set their tone, let's set our tone, you can tell those two teams are real competitive with each other, and we'll get to that later. But, two dominant wins there on Wednesday on the women's side.
And then we had our ones and twos for the men's side play, Liberty and UTEP.
Yeah, and I that 1-8 game, I was, after seeing UTEP the way they played on Tuesday, I was like, man, like, that's one team right there you don't want to catch when they're really hot. Mm-hmm. And that was – talking around, people in the arena that night, they're like, that's like the best game I've seen UTEP play all year. And, when you hear that, it's like, okay, well, they could make some noise here in this quarterfinal game. And no, Liberty didn't let that happen. Mm-hmm. They were unbelievable from the perimeter. Caden Matheny, Taylen Peter, like those guys, I realized how quickly I was like, I'm really interested to see how this Liberty team looks up front and, up close and everything. And they were just fat. They played the game they wanted to play.
Mm-hmm.
They made the game all about them. And next thing you know, they're winning by 21 in that game.
And so, it's like, you look up and you're just like, when did that happen?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. They can go in little spurts.
Mm-hmm.
They run a really effective offense. They're still top three nationally in effective field goal percentage. Just a well-run, system that they have going there. And then to move down to Jack State FIU, another,
FIU had a lot of proof. Yes, yeah. Exactly.
And they took Jack State,
mm-hmm.
I think, a week or two prior to the double OT in Miami. So obviously they were, felt that they were capable of pulling this upset off. And they kept it close the entire game. FIU, those two games they played, I will say, were, not the prettiest of basketball games, but I think that's the way they wanted the games to be played.
Mm-hmm.
Just to cause chaos with their opponent. And it was super fun to watch them just grind out these two games, even though they came out on the losing side in the second one. But shout out to Jack State to stay in the course and just doing what they do. Jerome Pierre had a crazy second half. I think he finished with 19.
Kelron was going off for Jack State.
All week. So, those big performances from them to step up late in that game and get that win to move on to have a day off on Thursday, which is huge, and then to get to play in the semis on Friday.
So our ones and twos, they moved on, advanced to semifinals on Friday. They did not play on Thursday, but we also had another day of quarterfinals, and that was, I feel like, these games, nail biters. The men's. Nail biters, okay? If you weren't there in person, you were probably on the edge of your seat for some of these games, because I was having a heart attack. I was like, this is not good for one's mental health, because I was literally over there shaking. I love close games, but I can't stand them, because it's just like, this is tournament time. Somebody's season is ending and somebody isn't advancing, which, love that for the advancing team. Hate that for the team that is losing. So I just like, oh my gosh, I don't know. But for the women's side, in our second quarterfinals matchups, we had number 4 and 5, New Mexico State and La Tech. And La Tech had a lot to prove in this game. And they got that one over 60-55 over New Mexico State. they were playing and they were getting it all on all sides. Jordan Marshall really showed out for Louisiana Tech. Avery Aaron had a career high in points and rebounds and steals. That freshman went off for Louisiana Tech, and she was definitely the difference maker on their offensive side for them to even pull out that win. Sure. When Molly Kaiser went down, she had an ankle injury, like, what, third quarter-ish?
Yeah.
It wasn't – it was after the second half for sure. Yeah. But I was like – I looked at Eric, and I was like, they're going to need her if they want to get out this road, right? And what – the fire that she is, shout out to Molly Kaiser. She came back. Literally, you can see her limping, but she wanted to – get her team back in. She wanted them to win. And granted, they only lost by 5 points. So it was a very close game by the time the fourth quarter was ending. But she was a fighter. She was like all grit and grind. She was like, I'm coming back out and supporting my team. So really good effort on Molly Kaiser's point. But La Tech was just such offensively and just defensively really, really good for them and got that win. And shout out to the freshman. She was a huge success for them.
Yeah. And obviously a very unfortunate with Molly Kaiser there, you know, that hurts to see, you know, from their perspective, but also as a, just from a fan too.
Mm-hmm.
Like, your player of the year, like you want to see her, you know, make moves in the tournament time. And, but it was super cool to see her, you know, get up a few minutes later and get back out on the court and fight with everything she had. So.
And the gym was dead silent. Like we all was oh my gosh. Yeah. So she got a lot of rounds of claps. And like she said, she came out and that's just so commendable and respectable just from her standpoint. And then we had our 3 WKU and 6 FIU, and that was a 73-66 win for WKU. Just like we talk about Liberty and how they have depth, I feel like WKU has depth too. You just never know who's going to have a night. They always are having multiple people score in double figures, and their offensive was just Alexis Mead. She got all tournament team. Baller. Broken nose. I think she just had surgery like a week ago or a couple days ago. So she had face mask on, which I feel like we talked about a lot of players had face masks on in our tournament this year, which we were like, oh, noticeable, cool, because Kiara Berry from Kennesaw State, she had an all-black one. I loved that one. That was actually very, very sweet. But Alexis Mead, she had a broken nose. She came out, but you would not even have known. I don't even think her nose was hurting. At one point, she was having a nosebleed, and I'm not sure if it was in this game or in the next game that they played, but just all great. Yes.
Yeah.
Just warrior, just playing it out. They wanted their team to win. So she was just a very, very big key leader in that game and the next game as well. But powerhouse, offensive, crazy.
Yeah. They looked really, really sharp that night. And obviously, once they got that win, you knew it was, you know, their time to go play their rival, Middle Tennessee, the next day. So super, super fun game to watch.
The men. Next quarterfinal. And these were the games.
Yeah, these were the games. And it was also like going in Wednesday to Thursday, we'd already seen 4 schools. So Thursday, we were getting to see
8 new teams.
Yeah, 4 brand new teams on each side. But another game that I was super excited to see. You know, 2 teams that were fighting. They both finished 10-8 in conference play. Kennesaw State and New Mexico State both had their ups and downs this year. I'd say more ups than downs, but both show that, you know, some weakness during the conference schedule. And this one was just an absolute battle, like from start to finish. Simeon Cottle, like, you know, a lot of the talk's been about Adrian Woolley, this freshman, you know, he's and obviously well-deserved for Adrian, but Simeon Cottle was like, all right, yep, I'm the leader. I'm the veteran of this group, of this backcourt. I'm going to score 32 real quick and, you know, bring my team to victory. And it was super cool to see that performance. I think he was cramping up at the end of the game. We saw a bunch of guys cramping up all week.
But shout out to the pickle shot. Sucker punch.
But he was cramping up there at the end of the game. He was running all over the place, head on fire sort of thing. And, dropped 32. The guy was balling. Adrian Woolley, I think, finished with a cool, like, 17, somewhere around there. And, gosh, that one came down to the wire, like, seriously, and really, you know, felt for New Mexico State because they, like, Peter Filipovich, a guy we've talked about a lot late in the season, who battled the flu for like 2 weeks. The kid just plays hard. He's a big, he's kind of a hybrid guy, guard, forward, can move around really well, and, he stepped up in the second half and, you know, it just came up short for those guys. And I felt for him because those are 2 teams that could easily been playing, you know, on Saturday. as was, you know, a lot of teams in this bracket. But Kennesaw State got the win. They held on, moved on. They were going to go play number one seed Liberty on Friday after beating Liberty, I guess, less than a week ago at this point. So we're super excited about that matchup. But before that, we had Middle Tennessee and La Tech. And that was our last game of the day on Thursday. And
Double OT.
Yep, they wanted some double overtime action. And it's funny, too, because I was talking to Josh about it. And I know, I think, one of our good followers here was saying, Jack State fan of ours, he, you know, all right, Middle Tennessee, La Tech, maybe y'all should go to three overtimes.
Yeah, make it good.
and wear each other out. And, you know, that's about exactly what they did. Yeah. What a ball game. Obviously, a season La Tech didn't want to have, but knew that they could, you know, it's a new season once tournament time comes. And I don't even really know how to explain this game. You know, Middle Tennessee just, I guess that they're at the end of regulation when they hit that three. Barely didn't get it off.
Yes.
And I thought he got it off for sure. And then obviously replay came around. It's like, okay, yeah, ball was still in his hands, but
anxiety.
Yeah. Just one of those games, you know, it came down to free throws there. And Middle Tennessee won that battle there in the end down the stretch.
So. Louisiana Tech also, Daniel Bacho went down. I'm not sure what type of injury that Bacho had in this game. It wasn't very clear to us. We don't really know, but we know during the press conference, their head coach was just saying, like, hey, like, he had a tremendous career. He stayed at La Tech. We really, really appreciate him. But he went down. But their team fought for him. They were staying in there. They knew that they may have needed him down that stretch, but they proved that they can do it without Daniel Bacho. And I think that was just, like, they were fighting for him because he probably wanted it so bad. He was probably so upset that he couldn't help his team out. But they were definitely fighting. They stayed in there double overtime. They stayed in there 10 minutes longer than what it was supposed to be.
Well, it's like when a guy like him is out, your lineup automatically just gets smaller. You know, a lot of guards playing. And
it was also foul trouble on both ends. Yeah. A lot of foul trouble. So it was just like you're playing down to the wire at this point.
Al Green had a great game. But, yeah, just came up short. Justin Porter and the guys really stepped up, and they just played their brand of basketball and got it done. So very good game there. It was a late night for us. But
and the crazy part is it was a late night for Middle Tennessee. And what? So our semifinals, pretty quick turnaround. Our semifinals, we have it flipped. So instead of the women starting, we have the men start for the 11 a.m. and the 2 p.m. game. And then the women's are at night at, 5:30 and 7 and 8. Yep. I was about to say 7. But so Middle Tennessee had to get up, what? I feel like less than 12 hours, kind of. And they had to, not even 12. They had the 2 p.m. game. So they had to do it all over again. Short turnaround. But, man, was these two games really, really good, too.
Yeah.
So you had Liberty. Oh, yeah. I mean, you had Liberty, and Kennesaw State. And that one was a very close game.
A wild one, yeah. In a game that Kennesaw led by 14, I believe, in the first half. And it was almost like, okay, we might be finally seeing, like, a big upset here. Not that it, you know, was an upset in their eyes and some people's eyes because we saw Kennesaw win a week ago, but
they were playing fast and they were not missing at all in that first half. It was actually crazy to watch.
But then Liberty just, they caught their, you know,
them three pointers.
Yeah. Caden Matheny, the kid is a baller. I mean, I think at one point I caught myself just watching him when they were on offense and he's just, you know, moving around, zigzagging around, and just finding a soft spot in the defense. And here he is, quick release, and it's going in. And at one point hit three straight three-pointers to eventually take the lead for them late in the second half. And they ended up just hanging on by a thread. And it was, again, just a game that either of these two teams could be playing for the final. Either of these two teams could have been our champion. But what matters is what mattered. And they, you know, finished the game off right. And gosh, that was an incredible game to start our Friday day of semifinals. And then even to move on to the Jack State Middle Tennessee game, again, Jerome Pierre Jr. and Kelron House were just superb. And it was really more of a defensive battle than I think I expected, with these two offenses playing good. But again, Middle Tennessee coming off less than like probably 18 hours of rest before their last game, and Jack State had a full day rest. Yeah. So definitely that was in their favor, but that's also because they're a top seed. But man, that was an incredible game. And the stand that they made on defense in that last possession to not even let Middle Tennessee get a shot off was very impressive, and to not foul. Like, there were at times some fouls that were called that it's like, man, like, I wish, you know, they'd let these guys play a little bit more. And but just an incredible stop there on the last possession, not to let them get a shot off. And they were moving on to play number one Liberty in the championship. So at this point, I think the last four men's games on Thursday and Friday were decided by a total of 9 points. And three of those games being by 2 points. So,
and they were all back-to-back-to-back. Yep. So many heart attacks.
So just absolute chaos and just great ball games.
Yeah, made it
so
for a great tournament.
Highlight-worthy, you know, clips from both sides. It was super fun to watch.
For the women's, we had number one Liberty, and then we had number five La Tech, which I have to give La Tech credit. At first, they were not giving up, right? Liberty is a team that you can look up and you're just like, when did they score all those points? Just like their men's. They, I feel like, are so identical to their men's team. It's actually kind of insane. They're really good from the three-point line. They have anybody. It could be anybody game that are leading in scoring. You know, like, talked to Bella Smooter earlier today. You guys will see that interview a little bit later. But she was even saying how MVP could be a hard choice because they have so much depth on their team. And I was like, yes, we all wonder why you don't get players of the week for Liberty. It's because everybody does good. Like, you don't have one person that's just still in the show, or, you know, who has 2 20-point games that could get player of the week. So it's just like really good part on Liberty, and they're recruiting both on the men's and women's side just to have shooters and just defensively just really, really good.
Right. It's funny how both teams are very similar.
Yes.
Because we were struggling on the all tournament teams and just MVP in general. So they're both very balanced squads, and we'll get into that a little more here in a second. But yeah, two really fun teams to watch.
Yeah, so they beat that one 80-53, and then our just battle, our rival, our 100 miles of hate. Their third time seeing each other, they split the regular season, so we knew this was going to be a battle, and we just knew it was going to be intense. We knew it was going to be stressful, especially for me. But Middle Tennessee came out of that one 71-63. But guys, I want y'all to know that WKU was leading that game for the majority of the time until the fourth quarter. And it wasn't for Jalen Gregory, who got hot at the right second. She literally drained 3 3-pointers in a row to put Middle Tennessee up, what, 65-59 at that point? And it was like less than 3 minutes in the game left. And she put that team on her back because she was 4 of 7 from the 3-point line, but she had not made one until that run. She had one, and then they were still scoring. But them three that she had at the end was critical, was crucial.
Those might as well counted for 10 threes. Yes. Just how much that meant to get the spark going in that team. That was an incredible moment, just those couple of minutes. You know, the WKU fought
hard,
like crazy. And I mean, yeah, they're, like you said, controlling most of the game. But when you know a team like Middle Tennessee is on the other side, it's like we were sitting there like, when are they going to burst? When are they going to – like, some shots weren't falling a lot of the game, and – we were waiting for it, and it happened finally. And Jalen Gregory, just one of those crazy cool moments for her and that team to be able to win a big rivalry game like that.
And she basically sent those Lady Raiders right onto the championship game for the third consecutive year in the row. And it's basically a rematch of last year's championship game, and they're going against Liberty again. Again, Liberty and Middle Tennessee, they split the regular season. So we knew that game was going to be intense as well. And just a back and forth battle. That WKU Middle Tennessee one was a back and forth battle, especially that fourth quarter. So that was just a great way to end that Friday with that game. And we talk about women in sports not getting a lot of support, but those fans came out for that Friday night game. And I love that for women's basketball because you just, I don't know, in these times, you just never know. It could be a toss-up, especially with them playing in the morning. Especially being a weekday, we know it has some, you know, criteria that you have to meet. Like, people aren't coming during the workday, but they showed out on that Friday night, and I just love that for both teams. Yeah.
And it's awesome because, you know, you had the men's and women's teams both there, so it's like, let's take it all in, you know? Like, why not? So, super fun to see the Flames Nation show out this week and to our other schools, too. I mean, Middle Tennessee brought a great crowd. Even I think what day did they play first Wednesday on the women's side, like they were there from Wednesday till Saturday. Mm-hmm. You know, sometimes you see it closer to the weekend when fans start showing up, but they were there. They were in for the race with their squads, and yeah, all around great turnout in Huntsville. But yeah, let's talk about this championship game.
Championship game. Liberty won it all. Their first Conference USA championship. I talked to Bella earlier today. That was her what? She had 3 years of her just making it into the championship game, and this was the year that she won it all. That was our conference tournament MVP. And I just love talking to her. You can see that she just loved the group of girls that she's playing with. She loved her team. She was just so happy for them and herself for winning it. And they won that one 53-48. But this one came down to the wire because it was like a minute left, and I think it was 53. It was like Middle Tennessee had to hit a three-pointer. It could have went into overtime. And me and Eric, we're looking at each other like, Middle Tennessee could get a three-pointer off. Like, we was like, it's possible. So I'm over here stressed because we have to write, obviously, a script for our post game. So I'm like, I can't write down anything until this game is over. Yeah. But Liberty's defense held Middle Tennessee, and they did not get that shot off. Yeah. And then they hit a couple clutch free throws, and they won that one 53-48. But it's just like that one was a back and forth battle as well, and that's on both ends, offensive and defensive, from both. Anastasia Bodareva, seeing her in person was so good. She went off the whole entire tournament, I feel like, and she was just a very. I see why everybody says she's a key player to Middle Tennessee.
Oh yeah, I think that's why Liberty matches up with them so well, is because they have someone like Bella Smooth match her size, and it's almost like, you know, they're both going to go off and both have really good games, but they kind of just cancel each other out in that sense, in my eyes at least. So it's fun watching, you know, everyone around them have to step up and make shots, and because you know those two are gonna hold their own. And it was a great battle between those two on that Saturday championship game.
And Asia Boone stepped up, and Mahes stepped up for Liberty. Avery Mills always steps up. They're freshmen. So just an overall tremendous job from Liberty. You could see that they just really, really wanted it. Both sides were hyped up, obviously, but you could just tell that Liberty was just, it meant more for sure.
No doubt. Well, we can move on to the finale here. And going off that, it's almost funny that we talk about it because you have the Liberty women running off the court, running back into the locker room, all celebrating, dancing.
Hyping the men up.
And then here you go. The men's side is, you know, right across the hall, their locker room from the women. So they get to see that, and they're like, all right, you know, here we go.
Yeah.
Kind of hype them up a little bit. But, Liberty looked really good in this championship game. Obviously came out on top, 79-67. But Jack State got out hot off the rip.
We were all like,
okay.
It was a fast game too. It was just like, started, I feel quick. Like my eyes couldn't even keep up with how fast we were going from each side of the court.
I think, Jack State went up, 10-3 and then like 13-5, and Liberty stormed back and here they are leading by like 7, like after 5 minutes or so. So, an incredible game shooting wise from Liberty. I mean, they were unbelievable to watch. They shot 60% on the game. That's a CUSA title game record. Talen Peter, Caden Matheny dropped 16 threes on the week.
The whole entire tournament. Yeah.
As three shy of the tournament record, an incredible feat for them. And, you know, I think they knew it there in the final moments. Caden Matheny, another guy that was cramping up there at the end, he got his pickle shots in and felt a lot better. Got the fans all hyped up, but an incredible run from Liberty. It's a team that, you know, I talked about coming into the week, like, has had experience and good success in neutral site games this year. They're now 7-1 in neutral site games this season. Had that tournament win in the Virgin Islands against a really good Kansas State team from the Big 12, and a McNeese team that's also in the tournament as a 12 seed. So they've got some real good wins on their schedule and on their resume. I'm excited to see how they match up this week.
Yes. But looking at these scores, though, it's crazy. They averaged 80 points as a team per game. They had 81 against UTEP, 81 against Kennesaw, 79 against Jack State. Yeah. Those kids can shoot the ball. And it's so funny when you hear other teams scouting them, they're just like, we just got to hold them from shooting threes, and they still get the job done. Yeah. Also spoke to Katie Matheny after my interview with Bella Smuda. I just said, how do you guys still get open when you know teams are scouting and defending that three-point line? He's just like, we got a lot of shooters. We can pass the ball around, which is not false. They have so many people who can shoot that three-pointer. And I was telling him, watching them warm up against Kennesaw State, I was probably watching for like 5 minutes straight, and they did not miss a three-pointer. It was like, what are they going to miss? I don't know. And it wasn't until a very long time until they actually missed a three-pointer. So I thought that was crazy.
I think you nudged my shoulder. Yes. Like, just watch this.
And we just
sat in silence. Yeah, we sat in silence and just watched them just drain threes from all around the mm-hmm. arc. Like, it was quite impressive. And
it was.
And then you see them do it in the game, and it's like, you got a guy in your face, and you're still doing it. Mm-hmm. Okay, cool.
Or you're shooting basically nice. From the logo.
Yeah.
Cool.
Yeah. Yeah. It was insane to watch. Cade Matheny, tournament MVP. Like I said, 16 threes on the week. Incredible. Liberty tied a CUSA title game record with 12 threes as a team there. And, just a crazy good road team this year. Their fans traveled there. You know, I hope some of their fans get to travel to Seattle. Mm-hmm. I know that's a long trip.
Yeah.
But super excited to watch them, you know, travel the country. And they've made that trip already this year.
Mm-hmm.
We get to see number 12 seed Liberty play number 5 Oregon. The last time Liberty was a 12 seed in the tournament, 2019, they defeated Mississippi State by 4. So, you know, maybe the 12 seed's the luck of the Flames. We'll see. Super excited to watch them. And then just to give a couple shout-outs to our other squads on the men's side in the postseason, Middle Tennessee was an automatic berth for the NIT. Disclaimer, we are shooting this on Tuesday, so they have actually not played yet.
Mm-hmm.
But Middle Tennessee will play this evening against Chattanooga at home as a 4 seed in the NIT at 7 o'clock on ESPN+. So I will certainly be tuned in. I'm sure Murfreesboro and the Blue Raider fans will be tuned in as well. Jack State, our 2 seed, tournament runner-up, they will also get a chance to play in the postseason. Super excited for the Gamecocks. They're hoping their season wasn't over. They deserve a postseason tournament play, and they're going to be going to Georgia Tech tonight, playing number 4 seed in Atlanta. So that game will be at 6 o'clock on ESPN2. So tune on in there, and, well, I guess the game will be over at this point. But
if they tune into the next game, they will move on. We're just going to speak into existence.
When they
move on, you better watch their next game, which you can find all of that information out on our website because we'll update our schedule. So after Tuesday games, they probably won't play till Thursday maybe?
I'd have to look at the schedule. Mm-hmm. But
keep your eyes out on our CUSA website, and you can get all those information for those games when they win because they're going to win.
Oh yeah.
Right. So the men have three teams in postseason.
Yep.
The women have 4 teams in the postseason. We have number 4. Well, Liberty going against number 4 Kentucky. Liberty is a number 13 seed, and this is their 7th appearance as a number 13 seed in the NCAA tourament. Yes. So their only tourney wins came as a number 13 seed in 2005 when they reached a Sweet 16. So is 13 a magic number? Like 12 is?
12 and 13.
Hey, back to back. I don't know. We'll see. But that's on Friday at 11 a.m. Central Time. So that is on ESPN3. You can catch that game. It's Liberty versus number 4 Kentucky. They are in Lexington, Kentucky, which is a closer, state Virginia.
Yep.
So the Flames Nation, I'm pretty sure they will be in Lexington, Kentucky, cheering them on because those Flame Nations, they don't play. So I wouldn't even be surprised if it's a bunch of people traveling to Seattle because they're insane, which they should be for their teams. They root for them very, very hard. Middle Tennessee, they got to the WBIT, and they will go against number 3 Belmont, which I think is interesting because they went against Belmont earlier this season, and they unfortunately lost that match. So I think going into this one, they're like, that's absolutely not happening again. They have a chance to still play in the postseason. They want to continue on. So I see that being a very, very, really good matchup, just based on how it went earlier in the season. That game is at 6:30 Central. That's on ESPN+. They're in Nashville, so those Blue Raiders.
I was literally about to say, yes. That's a quick, easy trip. I mean, 30 minutes, if that. So, super fun for both those schools.
Yeah, it'll basically be like 2 home games. Yeah. I want to go to that game. I feel like it would be such a good game. I'm kind of jealous. New Mexico State is in the WNIT, and they're going against University of the Pacific. Shout out to my alma mater for my master's degree, which I wish I was going to Stockton, California for that game. But they'll be in California going against the Pacific Tigers at 8 p.m. Central Time. And Louisiana Tech, they got a first-round bye in a WNIT. So they play the winner of the Texas Southern St. Mary's game that is played on Thursday. We don't really know When they'll play or what time they'll play, we have to wait until that match is over. But like I said, you can find all of that information on our website after Thursday, because that's when that'll be completed and we will put on our website. So everything in the postseason, ESPN Plus, ESPN 3, ESPN 2. Watch. You don't have nothing else better to do on Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday. Nothing but basketball. And even if
Liberty,
you want to...
Liberty's on True TV. Or Liberty
True
Men.
TV.
Liberty Men. Sorry. Okay, True CBS TV. Platforms.
Oh!
For the men's game, so.
All right, CBS platforms for the men's game, ESPN platforms for the women. And if you want a little extra spice, tune into ESPN Plus for our bowling championship, just once again. And coming up next is my two interviews with Bella Smuda and Kaden Matheny. They talk about winning their championship, being MVP, just their teams winning and their walk of faith. It's a really good interview. Please check it out. Hello, Conference USA fans. And on the USA Insider Podcast, we have redshirt senior Bella Smuda. She's the tournament MVP, just won 2025 USA champion. How does it feel after 3 years of just chasing this title? You finally get it in your redshirt season. How does that feel?
It feels awesome. It feels like such a, like, almost like a dream come true. Like, this is something that I've been thinking about for years. This is something that's been a goal for like a long time. And especially this year, this is something that I've really wanted to, you know, my final season, I really wanted to get it. And I'm so glad that I was able to do it. I'm so glad I was able to do it with my team and just everyone's help.
Winning MVP on top of just champion is an incredible feat, right? What does that individual honor mean to you?
It means a lot. It means a lot. And I really, like, couldn't have done it without my teammates. I mean, I even think, like, honestly, I've said this before, but like, my team, we're very, like, spread out. Like, I feel like anyone could have been the MVP, because if you look at our stats, it's not like we're like, oh, I'm averaging this many, everyone else is out. You know, everyone's averaging very similar points. And so I just think that, like I've said this, I said this in one of my press conferences, is like, I don't feel like we have one star player. It's like a team full of star players. And so I just am so grateful to them just for, like, even allowing me to get to this point.
You guys definitely have so much depth on your team. I think we in the conference office was like, no wonder why they don't get a Conference USA Player of the Week, because everybody always pitches in, right? You never have like one person. You may have like one person, but it's never a consistent person throughout, you know, the whole entire season, because your bench, your starting five just has so much depth to your game. Like, what has that been all season, just working through that?
Yeah, it's been great. Honestly, I think it's such a, like, advantage to us, because I think it really makes it hard to scout, because I think it's like, okay, you could double in the post, but then we could just kick it out and hit a three. Or like, okay, yeah, you could really put a lot of pressure on the guards, but then the post is going to be open. And so I think it's, like you said, like, I think it is like an advantage in a lot of ways, because I think no one has that pressure too, where it's like, no one has to have the game of their life for us to win. Like, you can have a bad game and we can still win the game. And so I think that's been so awesome, just to spread the wealth and everyone gets like opportunity to really step up at any given point.
How do you think your game has evolved over the years to just put you in this position to lead your team?
Yeah, I think, you know, it's been a lot of learning and a lot of growing. I think, like, when I first came in, I was a lot more quiet and a lot more just like happy to be there. I feel like I wasn't like, I didn't take as much of a lead. And I think, like, I was able to really step up over the years and be a leader. And I think that has, like, been a big, like, a difference. But then even on the court, like, I feel like I've been able to become more versatile, get more of a outside shot, and then, but also become just more stronger and play better defense. I think my defense has gotten a lot better over the years. And yeah, I think it's just, it's been a lot of help from my coaches and just the other people around me pouring into me and helping me get better.
I know you mentioned this in your post-game interview after the championship, that you really, really wanted to win a conference championship with your team, right? So what makes this team so special this year that, you know, that finally just made it click and it got you guys to win, like, especially behind the scenes, not just on the court?
Yeah, I feel like we've been through a lot of adversity. And that's something that I really, like, I think, you know, last year we lost in the championship. And that was, like, really, really hard for a lot of us, because it's like, you know, you put all that work in, and then to lose – coming second is kind of, you know, it's like it puts a bitter taste in your mouth a little bit. I think that it's just been like, this team has come through a lot of adversity. We had a lot of injury this year. We had even like just a lot of different things that happened that were kind of like, you know, we wanted to come back and win together. And I knew that these girls were so motivated to do so. And so I think that's why I saw the vision of this team, and I'm so glad I was able to come back, because I just saw like the motivation that everyone had after we lost last year. And so I think that's why I really wanted to come back with this team.
You guys, the men and the women, yeah, both won this year. That hasn't happened. Well, this is the third time in just Conference USA history that both teams has won in the same year. So yeah, how was it, you know, like how happy are you guys for them? I'm pretty sure you guys are close with the men's team. So for them to see you to win and then for you guys to see them to win, how was that?
That was really cool. I think it was cool too, because we were able to kind of like hype them up when we were coming off the court. They were like getting ready to come on the court. And so we were like having like a dance party in the hallway, like as they were like coming onto the court. And so we were like, we're giving them that extra edge. And I mean, I don't know if that was us or probably not, but I don't know. it was just cool to celebrate with them. And then even to just come back to Lynchburg, and we had like our selection show. They had theirs at 6, ours at 8. And just like to be able to celebrate together is just such a special thing. But that's cool. I didn't know that. It was the first time in Conference USA history that.
Well, it's the third time.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. No, you're fine. But I'm pretty sure you definitely lit a fire in them. They're like, oh, the woman won. We're about to win.
Yes, definitely.
You just mentioned the NCAA selection show, right? How mm-hmm. was it just to see you guys' name on that screen? You're going against number 4 Kentucky in Lexington. So just how was that moment?
It was so special. I mean, that's something you like see. I mean, because I've never experienced that before. My five years here. And so it was so cool. And it was kind of like nerve-wracking too, because like we were one of the later selections. And so we were kind of like, anytime there was like, cause we knew we were probably going to be like a 12, 13, 14 seed. So anytime one of those, we would be like, but then when we were finally selected, it was such a special moment. So cool to share it with my team and everyone who was there.
Probably on the edge of your seat. So I'm just like waiting to jump up.
I know, literally, because I'd be like, oh, that could be us. No. Oh, that could be us.
What is the team's mindset just going into this NCAA tournament?
I think we're honestly very motivated. I think that like beating Middle Tennessee in the championship gave us a lot of confidence of like, we can do this. Like, you know, we can beat good teams. And like, I think that, you know, once you get, there's something to be said, like once you get there, you're like, might as well keep winning, like try, like, you know. And so I think that's kind of everyone's mindset. Like we already have girls trying to like look up the stats and look up the film and everything. So I think we're excited to find out more. I mean, our coaches will definitely give us a good scout, and we're excited.
You definitely talked about a little bit of the scout, the girls looking up the stats.
Yeah.
But what will be the keys to success to just making a deep run in this tournament?
Yeah, I think just kind of like what we've been doing is playing, like we kind of said it earlier, playing together and like distributing the wealth. Like, I think that's kind of like our superpower, I think, like where, you know, if everyone does their job and does their job well, I think that is honestly what will give us an edge for sure.
The Flames Nation, they go so hard for you guys. I mean, literally on Twitter, on Instagram, on all socials, they are rooting for you guys every mm-hmm. single week. In and out. Yes. What do you just have to say to them, thanking them, or any words for them, especially with you going into the tournament and knowing that they'll be rooting for you?
Yes, shout out Flames Nation. We love Flames Nation. We're just honestly so grateful. I think especially as, you know, in women's sports, it's sometimes, you know, it's hard to get, you know, that same support, but I feel like Liberty does such a good job at supporting us. Like, we had a lot of people come out to our selection show. We have a good amount of people come to a lot of our home games and stuff. So it just means so much, especially as like a female athlete, like to have that support, you know? And I'm just so grateful. And they're so nice. Anytime I see, like, even after games and I'm able to talk to people, like, they're just the best. So I appreciate all the support that they give us.
Well, we love that. Thank you so much, Bella, for joining us on this show today. Congratulations on being the MVP, on being our 2025 USA champions. We will be supporting you throughout this NCAA tournament. We cannot wait to see how you guys play on Friday. So good luck.
Yes. Thank you so much.
Of course. Thank you. All right, Conference USA fans. Now we have Kaden Matheny, your 2025 USA champion on the men's side and our MVP. Thank you so much for joining us today.
No, thank you for having me.
How does it feel to win the conference championship? You're a redshirt senior guard. This is your second year with Liberty. So how does it feel to win that championship and go into the NCAA tournament?
Yeah, it's a dream come true. Wouldn't want to do it with any other guys. This is it's a special team, a resilient team, and yeah, this was our goal going into the year. Obviously, we actually set out the goal in April. Our returner sat down when we decided to come back for another year, and we were like, what's our main goal? And it was to win Conference USA Championship. And then we got a couple guys out of the portal that just bought in immediately and fit the culture. And it was just a awesome, awesome group that quickly became one of the most connected teams in the country, I believe.
So on top of winning the conference championship, you also earned our MVP award. Congratulations on that. But what does that individual honor mean to you?
Not much. I mean, obviously the main goal was to win the championship, and everything else was just a bonus. But it was cool, but I couldn't have done it without my teammates and coaches. They were setting me up all tournament in positions that I could have asked for more. And yeah, I mean, my teammates, especially Colin Porter, Zach Cleveland, they put me in a position to succeed, and I wouldn't be able to do what I do out there without those guys beside me.
I'm glad you mentioned Colin Porter, because we also have a question about that. In the press conference after after the championship, you guys were just going back and forth. You can tell you guys have a really great relationship. So just talk about a little bit about that relationship, especially being two guards that can just shoot for your team.
Yeah, I mean, he's a special person, a special player, but even a better person. And when I came and transferred here, he welcomed me. He would like to say not immediately, but I perceived it as immediately. And yeah, we hit it off. We hit it off from day one. He's a special person, a man of God, and a man of faith that I admire and look up to every day. Even though I'm a little older than him, those are the relationships that I was always looking for when it comes to basketball. Being able to just have a brother that I know that, hey, when this ball stops bouncing, that's gonna be a friendship and a brotherhood that'll last a lifetime. And yeah, it makes the game a little easier on the court when you have that type of connection with someone off the court.
What's something about your teammates or coaching staff that people don't see that made a huge impact on your success this season?
I mean, I'm sure everyone can see the unselfishness with this group, just the way we play, but also just how we have some comedians on our team with some of my teammates, and it's a funny group. It's an awesome group, and I think like we enjoy road trips better than home games, just because we get to spend some more time with each other, traveling and hanging out in the hotel rooms. And yeah, where it's a special group that you sometimes teams, you know, like when you go into practice, you're like, man, I can't wait to get away from these guys. But this type of team, it's like you want to be with them nonstop. So I think maybe that's the one thing that people don't see is just how funny some of these guys are and just how well connected we are.
You mentioned road trips earlier this season. You guys went to the Virgin Islands and won that tournament. I'm pretty sure it was a lot of team bonding on that trip. I'm jealous. I wish I could have went to the Virgin Islands. But you guys went against a lot of quality opponents, right? And you played on a neutral court there. You played a neutral court for the conference championship, and you'll play on a neutral court in the NCAA tournament. How do you think that tournament in the Virgin Islands just set you up for success just playing on a neutral court?
Yeah, that was obviously early on in the year, and it helped us gain a lot of chemistry with each other. And we had a really, really good tournament, played, like you said, some really, really good teams, and was able to go out and enjoy some sunny weather in November when usually you can't get that here in Lynchburg. But yeah, it was a neutral court, but obviously we know we're going out to Seattle, and that's pretty close to Oregon. So we know that it might be a little bit more of a home court advantage for them. But we've been, like you said, we've been playing really well in these neutral court tournaments, and looking to do the same. And it's something about this team. When we go on the road, we play really well. I think, like I said earlier, that's just because of how well connected we are and how much we enjoy actually traveling and being with each other.
You hit 16 threes throughout the whole entire tournament. And it's not just you that hit threes. I feel like it's basically your whole entire team that can hit a three. I remember watching you guys warm up last week, and it was like 5 minutes straight. I swear nobody missed a three-pointer. And I'm like, this is insane to watch in person. So you guys knowing that teams are scouting to defend the three-point line, how in the world are you guys still getting open and draining threes?
Yeah, like I said, just the unselfishness of the group. And we have a lot of options. Every guy on the court they have an ability to do something on the court that makes it hard for the defense. And when one guy has maybe an off game, we have four other options on the court at one time that's able to pick up their slack, and that makes it hard to defend when you got that many options and that much unselfishness on the court at one time. We believe we can get a great shot every time down the court, no matter how the team's defending us.
And you guys get it done every single time. That was literally incredible to watch. The men's and the women's side both won the conference champion. I just talked to Bella Smooter earlier today, and she was just telling me, you know, like how happy she was for you guys. So seeing them win and then seeing you guys win, how was that feeling?
Yeah, I mean, it was awesome. I think so. Their locker room was right across from ours. And after we came back from done warming up, they were celebrating. So it put a little bit more pressure on us to go out there and get one. But yeah, I mean, we share the same arena as them, and we see them in our locker room hallways all the time. And yeah, it's a great group of girls that they're awesome. I love watching them play. They're unselfish just like us, and they're playing for a bigger purpose like us. So it's awesome that we're going to be able to both put Liberty University on the national stage and talk about our faith on both sides. And that's going to be awesome for the university, but also awesome for both programs.
She said that you guys, well, they were dancing, you know, hyping you up. Were you hitting some dance moves in that tunnel before you guys came out?
No, we were, we tried to be pretty locked in.
Locked in.
But yeah, they were definitely dancing, hyping us up. So it was tough not to crack a smile, seeing them hype us up like that. And yeah, it meant a lot for them to do that. Even though they just won, they could have been celebrating by themselves in the locker room. But for them to be able to come out of the locker room and hype us up, yeah, it meant a lot for sure.
You and the women's both had the NCAA selection shows back to back. You guys were all in the arena together. Can you just describe the emotions you felt when you saw your team's name on the bracket?
Yeah, I don't think it like truly sunk in that we had made the tournament until obviously you see Liberty announced, and it was pretty crazy. We kind of had a thought that we might get a 12 seed. So when the first 12 seed was announced, and it wasn't us, it was like hands started sweating. Like, are we gonna get announced? And our name finally got announced, and it was pretty cool to be able to do it in Liberty Arena in front of the Liberty fans, and being able to have that moment with my teammates, and a moment that I always dreamed about, just being on a team to make March Madness and seeing your name called. It was definitely a moment that I'll remember for a long time.
You touched on it a bit earlier how you guys are going against number 5 Oregon in Seattle. What is the mindset of this team just going into that game on Friday?
Yeah, so thankfully we had a game against Seattle earlier in the year, so we kind of know what the travel's like going out west and kind of hitting a couple of our restaurants that we went earlier in the year. So just kind of trying to keep the good juju because we ended up winning that game in Seattle. But yeah, we know it's going to be a challenge. We know Oregon's a great team, but we're going to go in with full belief and full confidence because we're in a really good groove right now. And yeah, just truly excited. We're gonna also like take in the moment though. Like, we know that this is an awesome moment that we need to cherish, and but also go in with a belief that hey, we can beat anybody. So we're gonna go in with full confidence.
This is totally unrelated, but when you were in Seattle, did you guys catch the fish?
I think we recorded some people catching the fish. We weren't wanting to touch the fish, but we saw some people catching it.
Okay, I know that's a big thing in Seattle. I had to know if you guys did it or not.
Yeah, we definitely were watching. I don't know if we were catching it.
You know, I feel that. I don't know if I would touch it either myself. But what would be the keys to success for your team and just making a deep run in this tournament?
Yeah, I think, like I mentioned earlier, just keeping the unselfishness and just playing to our best ability and trusting the coaching staff, trusting the teammates, and never having our belief waver, because this team can do something special. We know that, but we know it's going to be really challenging, really hard. And keeping that belief and trusting one another, we can do some damage and we can make a run.
You also touched on this a little bit earlier about the Flames Nation. The Flames Nation goes so hard for you guys. Every week in and week out, they are rooting for you guys like nobody's business. All on our socials. I'm pretty sure at home, just watching the TV. So what do you have to say to fans, especially going into this NCAA tournament and know that they're rooting for you?
Yeah, I mean, it was an awesome, awesome year. Glad we could win some games in front of Flames Nation and bring the Conference USA Championship back home. But, I love their support. We lost a couple home games that we're still I'm still upset about a little bit. I never want to lose in front of the crowd, in front of our home fans. But, hopefully we can keep it going for them because I know how much they love this team. And excited to play in the big dance in front of them, and hopefully some of them can make the trip out to Seattle, even though that's across the country. I know that's a big travel, but hopefully to see some of the Flames Nation there.
I wouldn't be surprised if you guys have fans out there. They are so devoted.
Yep.
This is my last and final question for you, because we at the conference office needs to know this answer, right? We saw you after the conference championship game carrying a huge box of pickle juice from our good friends at Sucker Punch. You gave them a huge shout out in your post-game interview. We need to know, have you finished all of the pickle juice or not?
So my fiance is a big pickle fan. So I gave the box to her, and she was like, oh my gosh, I've never seen this many pickles. So she's probably done more damage to all the pickles than me. But yeah, we're working on it.
You have to take some with you to Seattle.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. That pickle juice shot was a little too good not to do one again.
Let us know if you need some more, because we'll definitely send you some.
Absolutely. Thank you. Thank you.
Kaden, thank you so much for joining us today. Again, congratulations on winning the Conference USA Championship and your MVP award. Good luck. Us in the conference office would definitely be rooting for you and watching you on Friday. And just thank you so much again. Congratulations.
Thank you for having me. Thank you.
Of course. Thank you so much to Bella Smuda and Kaden Matheny for joining us today. Good luck to all of our teams in the postseason. We are rooting for you guys to get some wins in this postseason basketball season for sure. But join us next week, because we'll be back next week. I know you guys missed us last week, but we will be here every week again on Thursday. So tune in. Thank you.